Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. I wanted to talk today about the, I guess, what's going on with the Republican Party and the repeal of Obamacare. This has been, you know, kind of a back and forth. I know you've been watching things on TV, Dave, and if you're as confused as I am about, are they going to repeal it? Is it going to take over a year? You know, my first thought is, you've been dealing with this for 8 years, passing repeal after repeal, having Dr. Price put forth legislation pretty much every year, and now you don't know what you're going to replace it with. It's maddening, and it's business as usual. And I want people to be really aware of the okey-doke. You know, you put people in power, and they pretend to do what you want them to do, and it's business as usual. What they're now, my feeling, my gut tells me, that they're going to play games with this into the next midterm election, end up changing nothing, having the Democrats use this as some sort of battering ram the entire time, like their, what was that crap, Make America Sick Again crap that they put out there. It was just laughable. And have the, and lose the majority, either in the House or Senate, and then handicap President Trump down the road. I think that's the game plan. And they're working together to do it. That's, you know, that's my theory on this, because it doesn't make sense. You have everything in place where you have the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and you're talking crap, and things aren't getting done. And there's one person who puts forth something, the other person says something else. I'm all with Rand Paul on this one, because he's right. You have to repeal it and replace it with something at the same time. But let's take another take at this. I'm not a big fan of waiting for the government to help me. It's gridlock. They like it to be gridlock. They don't want to change the status quo. It's obvious. And it's a lot of grandstanding and talking. What we really need to do is do what the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons are recommending. They put forth a white paper, which I will tweet during the course of the show, that gives a really thoughtful presentation on how we work this and how President Trump can sidestep the gridlock. They're not going to help him. They'll say that they're going to help him, but we have the two people who are against him running both the House and the Senate. You've got McConnell, you've got Ryan. They're not about to help him. They may say it, they may posture, they may look like it, but behind the scenes, they're working 24/7 against the guy. So, as I've said on the show before, it's all about us. We don't need the government to help us. We don't need to wait for them to tell us, I guess, to follow what we actually put them in to do. We can work around it. And you do that by taking your power back. And from a medical standpoint, one of the most important things you can do is start with your physician. I say it all the time. You need to see an independent doctor. You need to be in the care of an independent doctor. Corporatized medicine is killing patients. It's robbing people of their livelihoods and their pocketbooks, and it's telling you should like it. And until and unless Obamacare is completely gone and the free market is able to run without being molested, we are in a position where if you choose to use your insurance, you're spending more money. You are going to fight for what you want to do with your health savings account. I'm dealing now with a patient who, it was a fourth letter that we've written for her to get her health savings account to pay for treatment. It's a health savings account. It's owned by the patient, but she now has to fill out some form, three-page form about why she wants it and what's the purpose of it. It's your money. If you can't decide what you want to do with it from a health perspective, why have a health savings account? So if you have an independent doctor who has a cash-based practice, who has a direct primary care practice, that is the ultimate way to have the most bang for your buck, where you and your doctor, one, decide what the care should be. Two, you get to decide if you don't want to do standard treatment with pharmaceuticals. Your doctor won't be fined or somehow put under duress for treating you as an individual who maybe doesn't want to take a prescription drug to treat a problem. There's nothing wrong with that. But if they're in a corporatized system, first of all, their electronic medical record cafeteria of medication doesn't include supplements. So good luck with that. So if they can't close their chart and they can't do their meaningful use and their value-based services, they're not getting paid. The hospital won't be paid. If they're a member of a hospital or employee of a hospital, their charge master is based on hospital charges. And they've done a study that I read yesterday that said small offices cost the patient less than large offices. Insurance pays the small insurance companies, meaning not the big four, pay the doctor more money than the large ones. They give you they discount everything, but they take the profit for themselves. They're not turning it around to decrease patient out-of-pockets. They're not turning it around to decrease premiums. They're pocketing the money and then having the nerve to say that they're poor and they need more money. It's ridiculous. The only way that you can break the system is to stop paying into it. Wait for government to help you. Good luck with that when the top lobbying groups on Capitol Hill are medically based. Insurance, hospital health incorporation, pharmaceutical industry. It's ridiculous. So stop listening to the rhetoric and the propaganda at this point. The fake news is really what you're hearing every night on the TV. It's not real world. It's not what's going on in the real world. And they want you to believe that there's not enough. There's not enough doctors. There's not enough hospitals. There's not enough medication. Everything needs to be rationed. Everything needs to be controlled centrally so everybody gets what they deserve to get. So who are you to tell me what my worth is, what my mom and dad's worth is, what my child's worth is? You don't have the right to do that. I refuse that. And if we as individuals and patients and doctors stop playing into the system, it doesn't work without us. They can do whatever they want, but if we don't get sick and we don't end up in the hospital and we don't end up taking these prescription drugs, we won't be part of the system. We stop feeding it, and it collapses on its own weight. If you wait for Congress to think that way, good luck to you, because all they're thinking about is the next general election, the next interim election. They are now positioning themselves for the next election cycle. They have no interest in doing what they said they were going to do. They're interested in how they can keep their pockets full, for their coffers to run to pay for their next election cycle, and who's going to lobby to give them money so they can do it. That's all they care about. And the special interests now, it's really apparent. It wasn't so much before unless you really did due diligence, but I don't think anybody who's breathing and paying it and conscious can honestly say that the corporate interests are not aligned with what is best for the country or the individual. It's all about them. And that's why we change the face of the presidency, the mindset of the presidency. It's about working for the people of the country, not global interests, not transnational interests, but about us. We've been in the back seat looking at all of this stuff going on while they tell us we should like it. And they're driving us off a cliff. All the euphemisms you can imagine, they're actually coming home to roost. But if anything I learned, Dave, in this election, I don't know if you've learned it too, but we have a lot of power. Every individual in this country has a lot of power. Otherwise, we'd be sitting and looking at a different presidency on January 20th because it was all aligned for the Democrats to take this. You know, there was no chance. This is the worst candidate in the world. People don't know what they're talking about. Only we know what's best. Well, no, you don't. And we've proven that. So we, as I said last week, don't get complacent just because your horse won doesn't mean that we won. Not yet. It's going to be a fight. The fight really starts now. And that means holding everybody's feet, not only the Congress, but President Trump's feet to the fire, because he's going to be put under a lot of pressure just to go along, get along. Like, you can see it already. And all sorts of, you know, backstabbing and, Judas Goat movements. Everything's going on up there. But we need to keep our eye on the prize. And one of that prize is getting rid of Obamacare and getting rid of the value-based medical corporatization system. It's not working. It's not going to work. It's not designed to work. It's designed to tell you from cradle to grave what you need to do and who gets to control your body. And it's not you.
You know, Dr. George, I don't know how many hosts have said basically the same thing that you're saying, is that we won the battle, but we hadn't won the war yet. And if we become complacent, you know, you can't tell me that a Chuck Schumer and the rest of those people aren't. They're in it for one thing, themselves. And what they see now is destroying what we, the people, elected. And so we got to keep the fires going. And you said it. The people won, and the people need to stand up and continue to win.
Well, they do want one thing, but it's not. They want to fundamentally change the country. This is really the bigger picture is nationalism versus globalism, and being part of a UN-driven system that's been moving that way inexorably for years, for 15, 20 years now, maybe even longer. But this is an agenda that's really, they think about all the pieces that almost aligned. They almost had us, and we pulled it back at the last moment. We've had a loss of sovereignty with all these treaties. You got NAFTA, they wanted to do the Trans-Pacific Partnership. These things were allowing transnational corporations, international corporations, to supersede our laws. Do people understand this? That China or anybody who was not a U.S. congressperson would be able to look at our laws and say, well, that doesn't apply anymore. The TPP supersedes that. You know, our treaty abrogates your constitution. That's exactly what that was. Let's look at it from a healthcare perspective. They were going to be allowed to control medicines. So things that were now old generic drugs could potentially become owned, really, by transnational corporations, and they could set the price. They could stop making the drug. They can set it to some crazy amount, and you would have no power to fight it. You know, they were going to decide minutia, things that should nobody should have control over except the individual. It's going to be corporate driven. And if you ran afoul of it, then you could be fined, you could be sued, you could be jailed. This doesn't even make sense. So that's one thing. Sovereignty is an issue. Legal immigration is not a problem. That's not what they were trying, or what's been going on. It's been non-vetted people pouring into the country from everywhere, from the south border, the government dropping people off. I mean, this is outrageous. Well, first of all, the child protection thing that they tried where unaccompanied minors can come to the country. People need to know that an unaccompanied minor was up to age 31, not children, but up to age 31. So you have able-bodied adults coming across the border being dropped off this is a complete scam. Let's talk about more of that when we return, because I want people to really understand everybody's got, they fed on the goodness of the country, which is everybody wants to take care of somebody who's in need. We all do. But the way they've couched this, the way they frame this, and what's really been going on are two different things. Let's talk about that more when we turn. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I wanted to dig into this immigration issue because there's a lot of rhetoric that goes on to shut people up, to demonize people who have questions. But I brought this up before a long time ago now, but we have to really think about the nuts and bolts of this immigration influx. Let's just say these are children, little children coming across the border, unaccompanied, by the way. We are encouraging, and women, we're encouraging an inflow, a pipeline of people who are potentially fodder to be damaged in so many different ways, it's not even funny. This migration across the border. Remember I mentioned before that women were given birth control before leaving their countries, going through Mexico, because the chance of being raped was so high that they wanted to decrease the risk of pregnancy. That is obscene, that we would allow, that we would encourage people to put themselves at risk to do that. That's number one. Then you have the children coming across unaccompanied, being put into a situation where we don't know where they're going. It happened in Germany. I've read about it, and I think it's going on here, too, where people get lost. You don't know where they're going. You don't know who they're with. Potentially, can you imagine the flip side of this? Children being entered into a system where there's no accountability. You don't know who's taking them, and they're potentially in harm's way. Trafficking, that's the least of it. Who knows what's going on with these kids? There's buses that are dropping people off in the middle of cities and just dropping them. And then you have the money-making side of this, where you have the churches who are aligned with the government who are getting paid per person to take these people. So this is a money-making venture. You wonder, is it in the interest of the church, Lutheran, Catholic, charities? It's mostly Christian, but I don't know if there's any other type of religious organization affiliated, but this is a money-making venture, and they're not vetting the families that these people go to. So I heard yesterday, a couple days ago, that only 6% of the families that these children get dropped off at are vetted. Do you know who you're putting these kids with? Are they pedophiles? Are they some sort of psychopath? You have no idea, but they're in it for the money. We know how the foster system works. It's an unsafe environment for kids. How do we know how this one works? And we're encouraging more people to come just because we want to win. You know, they need to do some more due diligence and research on what happens to people when they get into the country. We know that if adults go get in, have a court date, they don't show up at the court date and disappear. Well, what happens with the children? If we're trying to be a conscious, thoughtful, helpful society, I don't believe this is the way to do it. My personal opinion. And what happens to this generation of damaged people when they become older? They become teens, they become adults, and they've lived in a system that's not taking care of them. What makes you think that they're not going to want to lash out at the society in general? There's no long-term thought about the individual. It's about voters who are going to be Democrats for generations, and this is what the mindset was. It needs to be talked about, and it needs to be called out for it, because it's extremely mercenary, and it's not about helping somebody. It's about rigging the system and making sure that you have enough bodies to help you politically. It's sad. I mean, the schools are overwhelmed. The hospitals have been overwhelmed. Nobody's talking about how you integrate these folks into our society. They don't care about that. And it's wrong. And we all want the same thing, which is for everybody to coexist. You don't have to love everybody. That's not what it's about. But it's about respect and coexisting, and to make it a one-way pipeline where if you don't like it, there's something wrong with you. Where if you don't acquiesce to the different cultures coming in and you take on what their mores and ethics are, then there's something wrong with you. People coming into the country need to be assimilated. That means they need to assimilate to the dominant culture. Speak English in the workplace. You can do whatever you want at home. I don't have a problem with that. But your system doesn't supersede ours. But that's the global mentality. Somehow, being an American or having a dominant American culture is a problem. They're writing the history books in a certain way. The colleges are teaching their students to hate themselves and to hate each other and to all, everybody did something to somebody. This is not a system that's designed to be cohesive. It's designed to fragment us. We're all becoming part of different subgroups and tribes and identities, whether that's gender or sex or race. It's ridiculous. I've never seen such a movement and a onslaught of let's just manufacture what makes us different so we can work against our own interests. If we're all paying attention to stupid things and fighting amongst each other, they get to decide who the next team that gets in to run the show and get the benefits and the freebies. And it's a separate system. It's like a parallel universe. They're running their own life along with the Hollywood sycophants who are living, who are trying to promote that. And the rest of us, who really just want all the same thing, have a job that is meaningful, live a life of purpose, you know, give your loved ones, your children, better than what you had, and live a nice, long, healthy life, you know, unencumbered, you know, without somebody sticking their nose in what you do. That's not a lot, but apparently that's too much for these folks.
We did a show Monday, and are you familiar with the term gaslighting?
Yeah.
Is this not what the government does to us day in and day out?
Well, yeah, they tell you how bad it is, and oh no, in this case, they're telling us how great it is. I know the economy's wonderful, everybody's getting along. This goodbye tour is, it should be, it's a work of fiction. It's amazing. The president said, and one, he was the father of the Tea Party. I'm like, I almost fell out of my chair when I read that one. Are you kidding? This is, the economy's, a third of the country's not working. The cities, the large cities are doing really, Chicago and L.A.? Or New York and Chicago? They're barely, no, I think it's L.A. They're barely functioning economically. You've got violence, gun violence out of control in the very cities that have the most gun control. Does that make sense to you? You have another, you know, terrorist attack in Fort Lauderdale. That guy was, if he wasn't ISIS, he was somehow, he wanted to be ISIS, but it's not working. It's not. And they keep telling us it's great, you should like it. I guess that they think that they say it enough that it's true. It's magical thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, what's the old saying? You tell a lie enough and it becomes the truth.
For them, but not for people in the reality who are living it. That's, and the doubling down is what's really troubling. Make America Sick Again meme was just troubling. While they sat there and lied about everything, Congress people, it's cheaper, more people have it, people love it. Are you kidding? It's more expensive. You can't even access the, if you have Obamacare, good luck to you, actually. But if you do, good luck finding an independent doctor to see you. You have to go to the clinic system. You have to go to a hospital-based system because private doctors aren't taking it. Not because we don't want to. It's because it's not conducive to seeing patients and staying open, period. Between all of the compliance and regulations and the fact that you get paid less than Medicaid, is ridiculous. And then when you do everything they want you to, they don't even pay you. I'm done with that. And we actually have to, but I'll say it again, doctors and patients must need to take a stand on what you're not willing to do. Not how low can you go, but what I'm not willing to take. I'm worthy. I have value. My life, my business, my wants and needs must take precedence over what the government tells me I should just take and accept. That's what they're telling us. We should like crap. We should like paying for nothing. We should like redistribution of our wealth to the government and to the corporate interest instead of to us. I'm working for my money. I don't want 60% of it gone to work against me. That's what they're doing. They're taking our money and they're using it against us. And anybody who sticks their head up, they're trying to smack it down by calling us names, by totally disrespecting us, in our face, too. It's like this election, they did everything to degrade it and devalue it, whether that was the so-called popular vote, or you had the onslaught against the Electoral College members. Now you've got this Russia meme that's been, it's just incredible. I mean, I don't think many people are falling for that one, though. I mean, we've already seen that the Democrats, through their own emails, have outed themselves. They talk about an illegitimate election. Bernie Sanders was robbed of his win on so many levels. They changed the rules in the midstream on the guy. And they wrote about it. And this is the key thing to me, Dave. Nobody's denying that whatever was that came out wasn't true. They never denied what was outed in these emails as being untrue. Everything they said was true. Whoever did it, whether that was an inside job, a disgruntled employee, I don't think it was Russia, but let's say it was some foreign interest. They did us a favor because we needed to know what we were potentially electing and the mindset of these people. I don't think anybody should be proud of what I read on there. You should be ashamed of yourselves, frankly. And the flip side is, if you can allow yourselves to be hacked that easily, what kind of government are we running that it's a wide open ship that anybody and their mother can go in there and look at? It doesn't even make sense.
You know, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but I kept, as I was watching the news last night, and they were obviously talking about the hacking and all this stuff in Russia. The one thing I never heard, nor have I heard it from anybody else, is that, but they did bring up one point. Did you know that we've had a cyber czar in the White House?
They need
now?
To be fired. Really?
Yeah, and probably knocking down $175,000, $200,000 a year that has done absolutely nothing. And, you know, Obama again makes his rash threats that, you know, in his last 2 days he's going to do this or do that and Russia shouldn't have done it and all this. You know, nobody has come out and said this was all under Obama.
I know. Well, a couple people have. But there's still no proof. It's the same rhetoric. Unnamed sources.
Yeah.
Classified information, but there's no proof. There's none. The bottom line is they put up a really bad candidate who did really bad things and is lucky to have been allowed to finish. Well, maybe not luck. I think it was all orchestrated, actually. But was allowed to finish a campaign and run to the end. That's on them. Now they're trying to come up with all sorts of reasons why it didn't turn out the way they wanted it to. But it shouldn't have turned out the way they wanted it to. It was a terrible candidate who slept most of it away. How do you take off for weeks at a time, not even run a campaign, because it was a coronation, and we weren't having it? So for the people who are paying attention, more power to it, to you, and me, and you, and everybody who didn't like the status quo and wanted to change it no matter what.
I guess on that, we better take a break.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, we get so passionate about things and we kind of get off track. But I'm hoping that it makes people go out there and do their own research. This is one of the most important segments of time that we're in right now. This transition of power. There is a concerted effort for it not to happen. I don't think... I'm just reading, looking at the bigger picture. All of these things about Russia that have come out, technically, and all of the leaks, they've been really designed to damage the credibility, the power of the incoming administration. And I think Trump is supposed to have some sort of press conference or something about the findings in the, I think it was last Friday actually, in the report from the CIA, but it got leaked before he even had his press conference on Friday. And then people that were going on the shows were asked, well, why doesn't he disavow? Why doesn't he do this? Well, he hasn't even been briefed yet. How can he do anything before he was briefed? But it's all about framing and setting up the meme so that you can ask. It's the same. And thank goodness he didn't fall into the trap. But remember during the debates, they kept telling him or asking him, if you lose, will you, stand behind the winner? Well, he hasn't even had the election yet. But they never asked her that question. And his trap was, yes, I'll do it. Then this would have gone on. He would have had nothing to back it up, right? Now it's the same thing. Will you say the Russians did it? Everybody says it. 17 intelligence agencies have said it. Well, no, they haven't. It's been two. The other ones haven't. And it's not confirmed. But they want him to say, yes, the Russians did it, so they can push a meme. He's already admitted it, and then they'll come up with the proof after, and he'll screw himself. Now there's some sort of, I don't know if you've heard about this. It came out yesterday that they have some sort of smoking gun that the Russians have hacked him, and they have a proof of financial and personal data against him, some sort of sexual thing. But I don't know if this is true, but it's hysterical if it is, that somebody put this out on 4chan as a joke, sent it to, put it out on Twitter, and they picked it up and ran with it and made it into this Russian plot against him to, damage him and to blackmail him. Well, they already know about blackmail since the last candidate was on the payroll of how many people, how many countries? I mean, it's just, and now the 4chan guy said, hey, I made it up. What a joke. You guys fell for the trap. And it's on CNN and BuzzFeed, and they're getting nailed from the other reporters who are like, you don't have proof of this. This is just an allegation. Why are you putting this out as if it's true? And even the BuzzFeed article said, well, we don't think it's true, but people have a right to know about it. So they wrote this, This is going to blow up in their face. They're so desperate. And this is right before, at the same day that the farewell speech happened. So it's all optics. It's all, this is so heavy-handed and pathetic. No one really believes this. Nobody believes it, except the media wants to, smear. But it's very sad. But this is what I would do. And this is what the AAPS white paper mentions. Instead of him trying to go in there and, just like us, we're in the same position as the president, really. We both want to shoehorn this corrupt crew out of D.C., remove the tentacles from the economy, from our lives. It's too much, and they've gone too far, and it's time to take back our power. And if he is and nobody's in control of my life except God, so he's not, President Trump doesn't run my life. Whatever he does doesn't really affect me. And it can't, because I serve God. So whatever's going on, this is all temporal. But and let's just play the game for a minute. Just like us, he has the position or the power to go around Congress. But now, in a legal manner, not what's been going on for the past 8 years. But they said one of the things that he could do, instead of waiting for Congress to do the right thing, is just defund these things. You have now a health HHS secretary who has so much power in Obamacare. For example, the part of it that funded contraception was at the pleasure of Kathleen Sebelius. It wasn't there written in the bill. She added that as one of the things that insurance needed to cover. So if your HHS secretary has that kind of power, then they can actually roll back a lot of these things without Congress doing anything. Just don't go after the people who don't buy insurance. So you decide not to prosecute part of the bill. Defund it, don't enforce it, and by definition, you've basically rolled back a lot of it. So if you don't buy the insurance, you can tell the IRS, don't fine the people. You know, just don't fine them. Don't go through that process. That's one way. You know, just don't help it. Don't pay for it and don't help it. And then allow the free market part of it to just continue to unfold, which it's doing. Direct primary care, health sharing. You do need to create health savings accounts in a different way so they can be used for anything medical. So people like my patient won't have to beg to use their own money. Just go around the insurance companies. Allow, you know, the cross state lines is a good idea. Anything that gives them competition is a good idea. That's going to be a while before you create it. Well, they might. They might actually, to get business, go back to the indemnity plans where you have a high deductible, low out-of-pocket for young people, healthy people. And put the people who have multiple medical problems on Medicaid or Medicare. Just expand them. You actually have. Obamacare, 60% of the people on Obamacare are on Medicaid. So let them stay on that. Let the people who don't want it, let them opt out. Just let them stop using it without being fined in some way. And people will find their own level, and they'll find the thing that works best for them. And the ideas that work will blossom, and the ones that don't will die on the vine. Right now what we're doing is we are empowering the things that don't work by the government propping them up. And it's wasting taxpayer money. And it's not helping anybody, but it's giving these proponents, it's great. We have a win. It's stupid. They should want to see, if they really were about what they say they were, instead of just winning, if they're honest, they would admit that this doesn't work. That the 20 million people, first of all, let's parse the 20 million. Maybe a third of them had insurance they liked and got kicked off. So they weren't in it. You know, they didn't want it. The other third, you know, they had multiple medical problems and they're covered for the first time. And they can go into Medicaid or Medicare. They already are, but just leave them there. And then the other third are carrying insurance but never using it because they can't afford it. Well, they're all in that position except for the Medicaid people. So it's not 20 million satisfied customers. It's people who are corralled one way or another, either because they're sick and they can't leave, they're not wealthy enough to carry an individual plan so that money's keeping them on it, or they're afraid of the fine. It's a captive audience. It's not because they want it. It's because this is all you've given them, and it sucks. So it's a money-making venture again, Dave. They are capturing that money, that fines and those fees and all of that is being used to prop something up, either some contractor, an insurance company, the government's getting money. You know they take the money and use it for other things. That's what they've been doing for Medicaid and Medicare, or I should say Medicare, for years, and Social Security.
You know, let me ask. We were talking about this, and I'm certainly no brain surgeon, but why couldn't, you know, just like you said, the Medicare or not Medicare, but under Obamacare or whatever, the health medical plan that uses the health savings plan. If you had someone that was bright and knew what the hell they were doing, mm-hmm. and cared, I gotta put that in, and cared really about you and me and mm-hmm. and everybody else. Why couldn't you take a health savings plan and also have a Social Security savings plan where, you know, instead of the forced Social Security, I pay half and you pay half and yada-da-da-da-da-da, and at 65 you get so much. Why not? And I realize I might have been the first one, if If I didn't have to pay taxes, I would have probably, or didn't have to pay into FICA and all that stuff, I probably would have blown it. But if you take and you give a person, an individual person starting at 18, the opportunity to do it right, save his money, save what you would have been taken out, and make it that it has to be proven. It can't just be, oh yeah, I didn't spend it. I've got it in my back pocket.
Right.
But, you know, we got to be smart enough. We got to have the computerization. We got to have the W-9s and the 1040 whatever and all the different forms we turn in. We should be able to maintain it and let people save their own money, build their own retirement.
You mean have skin in the game? Yeah. But that means that the government doesn't control it. So the flaw in this whole argument is that somehow you have to have the government run it and you have to have insurance companies administer it. That's the problem right there. So instead of...
You sprinkle in a few attorneys just to really...
Well, they're always involved with it. So they can skim off of both sides. You know, it's instead of the individual being empowered and respected to handle their own business, you have someone who knows better than you do, and you have a friend of who gets to skim off the top. So the insurance companies don't... There's so many... It's so much nonsense in this whole system. Let's give one example so people can understand what I mean. A while back, somebody came on the show and talked about insurance companies and how they had no problem with hospitals sending them outrageous bills, just complete ridiculousness, you know, $25,000 for, you know, let me see, what an example would that be? A thyroid surgery, you know. The doctor got maybe $900, but the hospital got like $25,000. They had no problems with that bill because it made it seem like they were saving the patient money by paying the hospital a fraction of it. So the higher the ticket value, the more they save you, the more value they potentially have, so you think you're getting something. And they love that. So the employers with the ERISA plans or the employers contract with the insurance company to be their administrator. They tell the employer, oh, we saved you so much money, we're valuable. It's a complete scam. It's completely overblown. That's how this system works. And the doctor and the patient and the employer are the ones who are contracting in good faith. I contract with insurance companies because I'm going to see your patients for a discount. I'm going to jump through every hoop you give me, but at the end of the day, pay me. They're not even doing that anymore. They're making up stuff after the fact. I'm on one patient now almost 2 years, not being paid. The other one I'm working on about 8 months right now. And we went through pre-certs, we went through everything. And these are employer-based plans where the employer contracted with the insurance company. They paid for this. The employers paid them, and they are denying coverage. Not even based on what their own guidelines are. They're just making it up as it goes along. There's nobody for us to go to complain. I did the procedure. The patient's fine. I'm sitting out here in the cold. It makes me really salty, to put it mildly. But that goes on every day within the doctor, independent doctor sphere. We're done with it. And as soon as more of us say we're not doing this, if you want that, you go see a medical, you know, extender. You know, an alternate provider. Have a good time. And have no MD take care of you at all. Keep giving nurses and physician assistants as much power as you want. Let them write prescriptions. Hell, let them do whatever you want. But that's not the same standard of care. And we're withdrawing our consent from this. And when patients figure this out, they can make a conscious choice. That's where we're moving. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, in the break, I mean, it's all about choice. What we don't have right now is choice. And we don't have proper knowledge. People need to know what the price of things are. That would be very helpful. I don't understand why hospitals can't list their prices online. I can't understand why doctors who are employees of hospitals can't do it either.
I've got to ask this.
Sure.
Okay. I left the doctor because I'd gone to him, and I'd gone to him for almost 20 years. And I simply went to his office. You remember the story.
I do.
And said, what is this going to cost me? So my wife had gone to the same doctor, and she needs the same procedure. Went through the same thing, and they wouldn't tell us, you know? So I had switched groups. She switched groups. Went in to meet with the doctor before the procedure coming up in a couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
and went to their office, and the lady that's in charge of, you know, accounting took the insurance information, yada da da da, and said, "This it's going to cost you out of pocket X amount of money."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "That's it." My wife said, "You know, is there going to be any hidden?" No, that's how much it's going to cost, out of pocket for you and the insurance company. The way we code it and so forth and so on, they will pay the rest, and, you know, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I realize that every patient case isn't exactly the same, but you do the same procedure 20, 30 times a day for, you know, year in and year out, I would think you could get a pretty good handle on how much it's going to cost. They also guaranteed the any biopsies and any lab work, you know, how much that would be. It won't go over this if it's necessary. If it's not necessary, then you won't be charged for any laboratories. Now, one group has gained our allegiance and our, you know, trust, and we will be going to them for these procedures from now on.
Mm-hmm.
The other doctor...
Excuse me.
Has totally, you know, they obviously don't care. We hadn't heard from them and said, where have you been? They don't care. But, and they're both in the same building. One group is right over the other group. But it's beyond me. Why couldn't this one practice just say it's going to cost X amount?
Because they don't know. Because it's made up as it goes along. That's my problem. There is no standardization of pricing. I have a website, Peachtree Wellness Co-op. You can go on there. You can see how much it's going to cost for a surgery, how much it's going to cost for an office visit. It's in black and white. It doesn't change based on the patient. Well, it changes in the hospital, from hospital to hospital, from patient to patient. They make it up, and that's the problem. The government is not stepping in to, you know, if they want to control something or have a say in something, it should be that. Because they're, as I said, they've doubled down on the most expensive aspects of healthcare, and they've been allowed to continue this practice unimpeded, continue to put patients in a position where you give them a service like you just described, and then you stick them with a bill after the fact. It's a mess. I mean, the problem that you had was that the doctor that saw you was out of network, and they work for the hospital, but they're out of network. They're contracted labor, so they're not really part of the hospital staff in the classic sense. They contract with them for their services, and that's a separate bill, but they don't tell you that. Or my favorite is you go to a doctor's office who sold their practice to the hospital, but their equipment belongs to the hospital. So their EKG, their chest x-ray equipment, their labs, that's going to be on the hospital charge master, not the doctor, local doctor bill. It's a joke, but this is the system. The system pays hospitals and big groups more money than it pays small, independent doctors. So it's set up as an inconsistent, uneven playing field, and the power is tilted towards the big. So you've got independent doctors who are so fed up, they've either left or sold because they can't stay open, and they cost a fraction of what it costs. The most expensive parts of the healthcare system have been empowered. The cheapest parts of it have been put out of business, regulated out of business, or they've just, you know, given up. And they love it because it's corporate interest 101. So that's why it costs you 10 times more to get a surgery in a hospital or more than it does in an outpatient or freestanding surgery center. That's why the insurance pays the hospital X number of dollars more than it pays a doctor who does it in their office, which is ridiculous. We are more efficient. We see the patients faster. We don't cost as much. But somehow we're the problem. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. But that goes to show it's the same mindset and the same meme everywhere. It's not what they say. It's actually the opposite. You know, when they tell you that Obamacare is wonderful and it's cheap and you should love it and everybody should be on it, it's actually no. It's more expensive. It doesn't serve the patients that's on it. Their choice of doctor has dropped dramatically. Their choice or their ability to have the insurance company pay for whatever they had done is dropped. A lot of the stuff ends back up in the patient lap in terms of not covered, part of a deductible, part of a co-insurance. The insurance companies are paying less money out now per patient than they have in the past. Yeah, there's some big ticket items that they're going to have to pay for, but on average, more patients are paying more out of pocket while they have a piece of plastic in their pocket or pocketbook. It's ridiculous. They are useless. What they should be used for is catastrophic coverage, not first dollar items. They don't add value, and they cost everybody more money. But they have somehow, well, because of money, they've gotten the ear of Congress to make themselves more important than they are. And they're not. The health sharing ministries prove that. Direct primary care proves that. Where if you get them out of your office and out of your surgery center and you just make a deal with the patient, everybody's happy and everybody gets covered. And the fact that you can go to these corporate entities and say, look, I have an estimate of how much it's going to cost me to have the surgery in this surgery center. Can you meet it? Will you meet it? And if you don't, I'm going there. They will drop the price to meet it because it's by the end of the day, it's about business. And if they don't have you as a captive audience, they will make a deal with you. So go to my Twitter, Medicine on Call, or you can go to Facebook, Medicine on Call Facebook page, and you'll see the AAPS white paper, which I'm going to put on there. And please, call your congressman today. It's actually Call Your Congressman Day to tell them that you want to repeal Obamacare, because unless we put pressure to bear, they're going to do business as usual, and we're going to be on the outside looking in, which is exactly what they want. So I want to thank you for listening to Medicine on Call. Have a great week, and God bless.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.